We're going to have trending at 2 in a second. First off, we got a text from one of our ladies listening on the show today. In all caps, so you know she's serious. Ooh. Diesel. Yeah. Excuse me, pants, in all caps, with an exclamation point. I'm a cool chick that drinks beer. I didn't say chicks that drink beer weren't cool. I just prefer a chick that drinks wine.
You just got the all caps, excuse me.
I did. Yeah.
Like that meme. Yeah. It's ma'am.
Yeah. And like, I feel like I'm the cat and she's the blonde lady yelling at the cat. You know what I'm talking about? I love that meme, by the way. That meme, like, I'm sure a lot of people are tired of that meme. I think it's hilarious. It's still funny. And I love that cat because that chick is so pissed off at that cat. And I'm the cat in this one. I'm the cat. I'm a cat that drinks wine. Yeah, that's me. That's me. But no, I don't mind. I don't mind a lady that drinks beer, but I would prefer one that drinks wine. I don't want to go to like a bunch of breweries all the time. You know, just drink.
What's wrong with you?
I'm more of a wine guy. I know they have wine at breweries, but usually it's crappy wine.
On purpose also.
I'm sure. Yeah, because they want you to drink their beer because it's not their wine, so they're just gonna get some cheap wine and just pawn.
But it's
it
also a way to get chicks to come to breweries.
Yeah,
mostly
they don't drink beer.
Mostly with their boyfriends or husbands who are bringing them to breweries.
Yeah. So I'm the opposite. Where I'm the guy that's drinking the wine at the brewery. Like the chick is drinking the beer. Like I want to go have an IPA. And I'm the boyfriend that's like, can I get a glass of wine?
IPAs are gross. People who drink IPAs are gross.
The people?
They're trash people.
Yeah, really?
Man. Trash people.
Shots fired at IPA drinkers. Wow.
Awful.
See, I haven't said anything negative about beer drinkers, but you're going hard in the paint here.
It's trash beer.
Yeah.
Like I intentionally want to drink something that tastes awful.
Yeah.
It's hard to drink.
I feel the same way about people that drink sours.
Yeah.
Are you into sours?
No.
Nobody actually likes sours.
Look, you know what I think of when I see somebody ordering an IPA or a sour or a Goza or something like that?
A Saison or some crap like that. Get out of here.
Yeah. Look how challenging I am.
Yeah.
I like to challenge myself when I drink beer. Stop.
Yeah. Drink stuff that tastes good.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Nobody likes
lagers, ales.
Every time I watch somebody drinking a sour, they make that face. You know? this is so good.
Like the old Keystone face?
Oh, it's so hoppy and good. I just love the hops. No, you don't. Yeah, Keystone bitter beer face. No, it's awful, absolutely awful. Yeah, don't drink just to look cool and be different. Just drink what you drink and drink what you love. I love wine. I love drinking some wine. I drink wine and watch football. That's what I do because it pairs well with the ribs. What can I say? You can text us, of course, at ESPN or text us at 713-3-713-07. You can also text us at 72881 if you like money. You can buy all the IPAs you want. You can buy $1,000 worth of IPAs.
What is that, like 9 IPAs? Because they're 10 bucks a piece?
Yeah, it's 9 IPAs, pretty much, yeah. Yeah, it's not a lot. Yeah, they're expensive, I know. Yeah, so if you want to spend your $1,000 on 9 IPAs or maybe like 11 Saisons, you can text 72881. The keyword today or for this hour is tool. Text tool, TOOL, to 72881. And if you're drinking IPAs, according to Diesel, you are a tool. Diesel is
flat out.
Yeah, shots
100%.
Fired. Shots fired at the IPA drinking community. So if you're listening, that's Diesel. That's not Pants. I love you guys. I love everybody.
But you suck up.
Yeah, Diesel. I got to be. I'm the new guy.
Suck up. I'm going to be real with him.
I'm trying to get a job, bro. You know what I mean?
I already have one.
Yeah, I'm trying to get a job here. So, yeah, I'm going to suck up to everybody. I love Clemson and I love South Carolina. You're all great. And IPA drinkers, too. Wings, I don't care. Flats, drums, it doesn't matter. Beer, wine, I'd love everyone here in the upstate.
Just say you hate Tennessee and you'll ingratiate yourself to everyone.
Oh, I do.
There you go.
Okay, yeah. Like the whole state or just the university? Because I hate the university.
The university.
Yeah, I can't stand the Vols. Yeah, because they're rival with the Gators. And I love the fact that they've been down. I talked about, I don't know if it was yesterday or the day before. We talked about, I think it was the day before, Wednesday. We talked about, Mark Ryan got into it with a listener, shockingly, on Twitter about, rooting against your rival when they're in a national championship game. Mark thinks it's not good decorum, I guess, to trash your rival if they lose the national championship. I think it's always good decorum to trash your rival at any time. And Tennessee, I love the fact that they're down now. I mentioned how like I'm a Florida Gator and Florida State is our biggest rival. Florida State's down right now, and some people say, "Well, I wish Florida State was up so to make the rivalry better." Screw that. I keep them down and keep Tennessee down too. I love just rubbing it in their face every year.
Why would you want your rival to be better so that you could possibly lose games to
them? That's just silly to me. Yeah.
It's a better rivalry when it's a 50-50 matchup. Do you want to lose 50% of the games to them? No, you don't.
No, I want them to be the nail. I want to be the hammer and I want them to be the nail. That's the rivalry I want if I'm a college football fan. So, yeah, I hate Tennessee. So, if that gets me on board with the great people of the upstate too, yeah, that's solid because I can't stand the University of Tennessee. Diesel, let's do a little trending at two here. Lots happening in the sports world. Obviously, you have the big national championship game on Monday. You have an NFL divisional round weekend this weekend for huge games. And there's some other NFL news happening. I don't know if you saw this. Terrell Owens, T.O., said the Cowboys should sign Tom Brady.
Tommy.
Yeah, T.O. thinks the Cowboys should sign Brady because he believes that Jerry Jones does not believe in Dak Prescott. I got this from CBS Sports. The Dallas Cowboys have a new head coach, but if you ask one of their most outspoken former players, they should have a new quarterback entering 2020. Hall of Fame wide receiver Terrell Owens suggested to 95.7 The Game in San Francisco this week that Cowboys owner Jerry Jones doesn't believe in Dak Prescott as the team's long-term starter, and then recommended perhaps the biggest name replacement possible in Tom Brady. Quote, this is T.O., the GM. I love this. He calls himself the GM. This is great. Terrell Owens, quote, this is T.O., the GM speaking and thinking right now, Owens said. They've already made one move that I've mentioned, that's hire Mike McCarthy. In order for Jerry to get back on top and put the Dallas Cowboys back in contention for a legitimate Super Bowl, they have a quarterback that's a free agent in Tom Brady. I'm not saying that to discredit or discount what Dak has done, his availability and skill set, but I say that because Jones hasn't extended Dak's contract, so that leads me to believe that he truly doesn't believe in Dak. If he had, then I think he would have already gotten a contract extension. It's not a matter of me believing in Dak. I believe in Dak. I don't think Jerry in the organization believes in him. You know what? T.O., you're right. I agree with Terrell Owens. I probably don't agree with T.O. very often, but T.O. is spot on here. Jerry Jones does not believe in Dak Prescott. You never let your quarterback get to the end of his contract like this. And the fact that they have not re-upped Dak shows me that they don't think Dak is their guy. They probably shouldn't think Dak is their guy because Dak is a pretty good quarterback. He's like my boy Larry David likes to say. He's pretty, pretty, pretty good. He ain't great. And if you're the Cowboys, are you willing to commit $30 million a year, $40 million a year? Remember, Dak was asking for 40 or something ridiculous like that. Are you willing to commit all that money in a long-term deal for a guy that's just pretty good? No, I don't think they should. And more importantly, I don't think Jerry Jones thinks they should. That's why I agree with T.O. They have not given Dak an offer yet. And I tell you what, if you move on from Dak, I would move on from Dak right now. I would go after Tom Brady if I'm the Cowboys. Because you got Amari Cooper sitting out there that needs to get paid too. Hey, they already paid Zeke. They're gonna probably have to pay either Dak or Amari. I would pay Amari. He's the guy that made that offense go when he got traded to him 2 years ago. He made that offense go this year. You can find another quarterback. Hey, could you imagine Tom Brady with Amari Cooper, Michael Gallup, Randall Cobb, Zeke running the ball with that offensive line?
Nasty.
That's pretty damn good team. That is nasty. I think that's a significant improvement over Dak Prescott. So I think this is a good idea. And I said it yesterday. Man, Tom Brady would look good in that Cowboys uniform. Could you picture Tom Brady and Jerry Jones holding the Lombardi trophy up? Like, think about that. Imagine that. It's like the devil and the devil coming together to form, like, the ultimate team and win. That picture alone is just frightening and amazing to me.
Those two together would miss 100% of high five attempts.
Oh, yeah. That's true.
They hands all, passing in the night.
How many different memes are there out there of Brady missing high fives and Jerry? They've both done it.
Yeah.
Jerry Jones in the press box when they score a touchdown is a mess. He doesn't know whether to pound a guy, high five, hug. He just has no clue what he's doing. And Tom Brady is the biggest nerd on earth. So he doesn't know what's going on. He's always, nobody even wants a high five Tom Brady. Tom Brady's
standing around like, hey.
He's high-fiving everybody, and everybody else is like, dude, you're 42. We don't high five. We're 24 years old. Like,
yeah,
give me a fist bump, bro. Something else, you know.
Bro, hug me, please.
Yeah, something. Yeah, yeah. Tom Brady and Jerry Jones high fiving would be hilarious. I agree 100%. This actually isn't hilarious. Carson Wentz is being called a hero by the NFL's chief medical officer. Carson Wentz left the Philadelphia Eagles playoff loss to the Seahawks after notifying team doctors of a concussion suffered in the first quarter. While some have labeled Wentz as injury prone or soft for taking himself out of the game, the NFL's chief medical officer applauded Wentz for the decision to remove himself from action. Quote, "I think what Carson Wentz did is heroic and should be highlighted as an example of how an unbelievably skilled and competitive athlete understands the seriousness of concussion injury and is willing to honestly report it and receive the care that he needs independent of his desire and drive to continue to participate in the game," Dr. Alan Sills said on Thursday to the Associated Press. "Having a concussion and playing through it is not about toughness. That's demonstrating a lack of understanding of the severity of the injury. So I applaud Carson Wentz for understanding how serious this injury is and for getting the appropriate care that he needs." And I applaud Carson Wentz, too. I know football, it's a man's game, and you're trying to tough it out. It's the playoffs. You don't want to let your team down. Think about all the pressure that Carson Wentz was probably going through in that moment after he got that concussion when you consider his injury history. He had the back injury last year. He had the torn ACL the year before. This is the first time he actually got in a playoff game. And he only played for 8 plays, and he went down. Not only that, he doesn't want to let his teammates down. He's got the city of Philadelphia ready to throw batteries at him. You know, like they're ready to boo him out of the building. That's a tough situation. And he had the guts to say, you know what? I feel concussed. I can't play. Diesel, I commend anybody. You know what? Your health, your head, your brain is more important than anything. It's just football, man. Good for Carson Wentz.
Yeah, it used to be it was play no matter what. Play injured, play concussed, get out there and play, take a salt pill, tough it out, and go.
Tape an aspirin to it.
But people see all these guys now having these CTE issues later on in life. They see them having debilitating health concerns that it's just a simple thing. It's like, you know what? I don't want to ruin the rest of my life for this.
No. Yeah, you have so much to live for, because especially if you're a football player, you're going to be done. Quarterback Wentz will probably be done at like 34, 35, maybe sooner. I think Wentz could be one of those guys like Andrew Luck that just says, like, I'm tired of getting beat up. It seems like he gets hurt every year.
Yeah.
And that's a lot of that is just happenstance, whatever, you know. But he's already signed a big contract. If he retires at 29, 30, I wouldn't hate on the guy. I wouldn't be surprised.
No.
But you have so much more life to live. And, like, it's not worth it, especially you only get one brain, man. Don't mess it up too much. Good for him, man. Yeah, absolutely. Take yourself out of the game. You'll have plenty of chances to win a Super Bowl. I know he obviously wants to because of how it went down when they won the Super Bowl and he wasn't there. But your life is so much more important than a stupid game. It's more important than even letting down some of your teammates. So bravo, Carson Wentz. It was heroic. I will agree with the doctor. And finally, Josh McDaniels, he's going to be interviewing with the Browns. He actually wanted the Browns job in 2019, and if he does get the opportunity, he's going to propose a realignment of team leadership. He's going to be the last person who interviews with the Browns before the team's reported Saturday deadline of hiring a new coach. But McDaniels himself has been eyeing the job for more than a year. That's according to Steve Dorshak of the of Canton's The Repository, who wrote Thursday, the longtime New England Patriots offensive coordinator was, quote, very interested in Cleveland's vacancy prior to 2019 and, quote, would have embraced an interview if not for the team's quick promotion of Freddie Kitchens. NFL Network's Ian Rappaport reported earlier this week that McDaniels has dreamed about coaching in Cleveland since he was a kid. Oh, come on, really?
Who dreams about coaching in Cleveland?
Nobody. That's like a nightmare. Like, I could see myself waking up in like a cold sweat, having a nightmare like, oh my God, I'm the coach of Cleveland now. Yeah, that would suck. Like, first off, you have to coach the Browns. And secondly, you gotta live in Cleveland.
Yeah.
Yeah, nobody awful. Dreams. I've never heard Cleveland and dream in the same sentence.
Trash city.
It really is. Yeah, it's a dump. Yeah, I mean, the lake caught on fire. It's absolutely awful. But that doesn't necessarily mean that McDaniels won't be bold in proposing his vision for the Browns, whose coaching search is reportedly headlined by analytics expert Paul DePodesta, an executive who won an apparent power struggle with since departed general manager John Dorsey. Per Dorsick, the 43-year-old coordinator figures to be very specific about organizational realignment. He would love for a union with Cleveland to work out well, he wrote. If not, he'll go back to the Patriots, who have been paying him more than any assistant coach in NFL history. That's the thing. Josh McDaniels is in a really good spot. He can demand a lot of money. He can also demand, like, I wanted things this way, and I want to bring in these people. This is why. He doesn't have to go to Cleveland. He can just stay in New England. Still getting paid. Still the highest paid coordinator in football. More important than that, he's the man in waiting in New England. We don't know how long Belichick's going to be there. I don't think it's going to be very long. Maybe two more years. He could stay, worst case scenario, he gets to become the coach of the Patriots, which is a much better job than the Browns. Way better job than the Browns. So, yeah, if I'm Josh McDaniels, I'm playing hardball with everybody because you have all of the power. That's Trending at 2. We do it every day at this time. All right, coming up on the other side, this team is in deep trouble this weekend. Who is it? We'll tell you next. I like your, Diesel, I like your voice guy, by the way. He's good.
Yeah, he's good.
He's very good. Yeah, I like him a lot. He's got a good radio voice.
You want to know an interesting fun fact about him?
Sure.
Legally blind.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, he reads it in Braille.
How about that? How
fantastic cool is that? Voice, though.
Yeah,
love that
great
guy's voice.
Well, maybe because he's legally blind, it makes his voice better.
I wish he would voice my voicemail.
Yeah, oh, that'd be good. Yeah.
Yeah.
I wish he'd voice like my GPS, but I still want Ed Orgeron to do that.
Sorry, Diesel is not available.
Oh, that's good. Yeah,
that'd be good.
Yeah, that would be really strong. He got a glorious voice. But that happens a lot. You know, a lot of people that lose one sense, they, you know, all their other senses heighten. You know, that's why I said, like, my favorite musical artist of all time is Stevie Wonder. I love Stevie Wonder. I've loved everything he's done for 50 years. And a lot of times I think Stevie is so amazing at what he does because he can't see. He hears things that most people can't hear. And I've always been a big Stevie Wonder guy. So props out to the voice guy. That dude is strong. By the way, don't forget, you can get on our Twitter at ESPN Upstates. We asked you the very important question: chicken wings, drums, or flats? And Coach A. Mill chimed in with both. Not both. Not B-O-T-H, but both. B-O-U-F. I like both. I'm a flats guy. Diesel is a drums guy. Speaking of Diesel, you're killing me in our poll right now.
Yes.
We ask you guys, who won the national championship snack draft? I had ribs, pizza, nachos, and wine for my national championship snacks on Monday. Diesel has wings, brats, American beer, not that foo-foo European stuff, American beer, and seven-layer dip. Right now, Diesel is winning with 75% of the vote.
Yes.
These people are.
It's really all about the beer.
It probably is.
It's 100% about the beer.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, I'm not a beer guy. What can I do? Yeah. Fine. That's just more wine for me.
You can man up. That's what you could do.
You can be a man and drink wine. It's totally fine. It's not white wine. It's red wine. It's manly.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So white wine is girly.
Exactly. Yes. Aha. White wine is very girly. Red wine is very manly.
What about White Claw?
There ain't no laws with White Claw. Yeah, they're just ain't. You know, that's a slogan. So like if you like breaking the rules and you like, you know, anarchy, then you just pound some claws, man. Yeah. I do. I'll drink a White Claw once in a while. I told you why I drink White Claw.
No, if you like anarchy, you drink Four Loko.
Oh yeah, that's true. No, but like White Claw, like I know I've seen Mark Ryan get bashed on Twitter. He'll post like a him drinking a White Claw at a sports bar or something. I'll drink it once in a while too, because it's so low calorie, and it tastes so crappy that you drink less. Like, if I want to just instead of drinking like a, you know, four glasses of wine, I'll have two White Claws, and it's like a third of the calories because it takes me all night to drink it because it's terrible. It tastes like battery acid. So, yeah, not a big White Claw fan, but I will have a White Claw once in a while. I drink more White Claw than I do beer at this point, which is kind of sad, and it's probably not going to gain me much respect here in the upstate. That's okay. I'm me. This is who I am. I love me some wine, and once in a while, I will actually drink a White Claw and watch football. All right, this team is in trouble this weekend. There's one team I believe that's going to get absolutely hammered in the NFL divisional round, and that team is your Minnesota Vikings. I do not see Minnesota hanging with San Francisco. Last week, I said that I didn't see Minnesota hanging with New Orleans, and I was wrong. And guess what? Everybody else was wrong, too. But I don't see Minnesota putting up much of a fight in this game. I think, arguably, the San Francisco 49ers are the best team left in the tournament. I think the 49ers, you could argue, might be the best. They might have consistently been the best team all year. It's either them or the Ravens. The Ravens have won 12 games in a row. You got to respect that. The Ravens beat the 49ers earlier this year. You got to respect that. But keep in mind, it was on a last-second field goal in Baltimore in the pouring rain. It was a really nasty day. The Niners hung with Baltimore. And the Niners have stomped fools this year. They haven't just beaten teams. They have annihilated teams. And they play a different level of football. And the Niners, when they play angrily. I love watching that team. I love watching that defense. Robert Saleh, their defensive coordinator, has those dudes dialed up. When they get after the quarterback, they punish the quarterback. They punish the running backs. They are the most physical, angry team in the league, and I think they're going to get after Kirk Cousins. I think Kirk Cousins is going to have a horrible day against that defensive line. Number one, they're rested. We talked about that earlier. I think there's a significant advantage for the teams that got the bye. It's way more significant than even having a bye during the regular season. Everybody gets a bye during the regular season, and usually, for the most part, they win after their bye week. You're rested. Think about how much more rested you are after a second bye week. This second bye week is so much more important because now you've had, you know, 16 weeks of football, 16 weeks of punishment on your body. To get that rest, to get that bye week is huge considering the other team didn't get it. They had to battle just to get here. They had to battle last week just to get here. And Minnesota had to go to overtime last week. And not only did they have to go to overtime last week, they had to play on Sunday last week, and they got to play on Saturday this week and travel all the way out to San Francisco. That's a recipe for disaster. Another thing, Adam Thielen, we don't know what his situation is, but he's got like a bunch of stitches in his ankle. He had an injury at practice on Wednesday, and they're a different team without Adam Thielen. I think he's going to play. That said, how effective is he going to be? Because we don't know the severity of this injury. It kind of reminds me of the bloody sock thing. Like, how many times do you have stitches in your ankle? It reminds me of your boy Curt Schilling for the Red Sox in 2004 when he had the famous bloody sock game against the Yankees. Will Adam Thielen have a bloody sock? Or will he use ketchup packets and squirt ketchup into his sock and make it look like blood, like Schilling did for the Red Sox. I don't know, but I just don't see. I don't see Minnesota stacking up very well to San Francisco. Dalvin Cook is going to have the game of his life. And you can't run on San Francisco. You can't run on them, and you can't throw on them. And that team has a significant home field advantage now. Nobody cared about the 49ers in Santa Clara before this year. Now that place is wild. So the crowd's going to be into it. It's going to be a little bit windy out there. And I love what the 49ers do on defense, and I love what they do on offense. The 49ers are old school. They run the ball, and they use a fullback. Like, and we talked about it earlier in the show. You know, nowadays, football is all about offense, all about, you know, RPOs and stretching the field and five receiver sets. And in the playoffs, it's about running and playing defense. In the San Francisco's, they run the ball hard. They have three good running backs, and they have a fullback, a Kyle Juszczyk, that's the best fullback in the NFL. And they pound you. They pound you on both sides of the ball. I really like San Francisco in this matchup. I think they're going to smoke Minnesota. Right now, I think they're 7-point favorites. You might be able to get a 6.5. I think the 49ers hammer the Vikings. In fact, I think the 49ers, like, if they don't get to the Super Bowl, I will be tremendously shocked. I think they're far and above the best team in the NFC. I think the only team that really could have challenged them was the Saints. And the Saints blew it last week, and they had a bad call. That happens. But I just don't think that the Vikings are on their level, and I certainly don't think the Seahawks or the Packers are on San Francisco's level. I think they have two pretty easy games at home, and boom, they're in the Super Bowl, and they get another week off. I really like San Francisco to possibly go all the way. If you'd like to weigh in on this or anything else we've talked about today, you can always hit us up on the phones, 844-477-3776. That's 844-GSP-ESPN. All right, coming up on the other side, good teams win, but great teams cover. Who should you bet your house on this weekend? We'll tell you next. Don't forget, coming up next segment in about 10 minutes or so, we're going to have your national championship picks. I know you've been dying out there for the last week waiting for our picks. I always find sports radio funny, and TV too, because everybody has pick segments. I know you've been waiting. Are we going to pick the Tigers or the Tigers? Find out in about 10 minutes from now. I had to make that joke, Diesel. I'm sorry. I know it's bad. But now, it's time for our NFL picks. I say this all the time. Good teams win, but great teams cover. We're not just going to give you the picks. We're going to give you the picks against the spread because we want to make you money here on ESPN Upstate. Diesel, I know you're not an NFL guy. I know you're a communist. But do you bet on football once in a while?
I'm not a communist. I'm a ecologist.
Ecologist?
Ecologist.
I like that. Okay. Yeah. You're a ecologist. You're just anti-NFL, pro-college all day. You ever bet on college games?
No.
No.
I don't have the money to bet on. I work in radio.
That's a good point.
I don't have the kind of free cash that I can just lose.
Well, they have cash, so let's help them win some cash.
I can't afford to lose.
Yeah, exactly. I'm in the same boat, too, because I work in radio. So, yeah, we don't have a lot of money. I don't like to gamble too much. But if I did, these would be my lead pipe locks of the week, and you'll probably go 0-4. We will see. All right, first game. We're going AFC first. The Tennessee Titans travel to Baltimore to take on the Baltimore Ravens. The Titans are 10-point underdogs. That's a big number. Baltimore has been smoking everybody. If they get out early, and that's what Baltimore does, they get out early on everybody. They've outscored people like 145-20 or something in the first quarter. It's crazy what they're doing jumping on teams. That said, I'm really worried about Mark Ingram. I don't think he's healthy. I think that calf is a huge concern for the Ravens. Tennessee is playing with house money right now. They got nothing to lose at all after beating the Patriots. They're on the road. They're running the ball. Tannehill's playing out of his mind. They're playing defense. They're hitting I like Tennessee a lot in this game. I am absolutely no problem letting Tennessee thinks Tennessee is going to cover that 10. That's too big of a number. Way too big of a number. Take Tennessee and the points at Baltimore. The other AFC matchup, our favorite son, Deshaun Watson, goes into Kansas City. He takes his Texans to Kansas City. The Kansas City Chiefs are 9-point favorites over the Houston Texans. We talked about this earlier in the show. Chiefs are rolling right now. The Chiefs this year are much different from the Chiefs last year because this year the Kansas City Chiefs are a complete football team. They play offense. We know that. Now they're starting to play defense. They've had the number one defense in the league for the last 6 or 7 weeks. They get after the quarterback. They have their secondary is good. It's tough to throw on Kansas City. Not only that, their special teams is off the hook. Mecole Hardman is probably the best return man in football right now. If you actually kick it to him and you don't get a touchback, the Chiefs could get a touchdown on special teams. All of that said, with Will Fuller coming back, as long as Will Fuller plays, that's huge. But still, I think Deshaun Watson will have enough. The Texans will cover the 9. I like the Texans. I like the underdogs in this one as well. So in both AFC games, I like the underdogs. I like Tennessee on the road. I like Houston on the road to cover those big numbers. Moving over to the NFC, another big number. Your San Francisco 49ers are 7-point favorites over the Minnesota Vikings. We talked about this with last segment. I think San Francisco is going to annihilate Minnesota. I think San Francisco is the most complete team in football. Minnesota did it once last week. Kirk Cousins had a nice little week. Ain't going to happen against the 49ers defense. They got to travel across country. They got to play on one day's less rest. They're playing against a team that had a bye week that's rested and angry. I think the Niners are going to absolutely stomp the Minnesota Vikings. -7 all day. Take your San Francisco 49ers. And finally, in the game of the week, according to a lot of people, not me, I think this is the least appealing game on the slate. The Seattle Seahawks go to the frozen tundra of Lambeau Field to take on the Green Bay Packers. Packers -4 in this game. There could be snow. They're supposedly going to be 8 to 12 inches of snow on Saturday night in Green Bay, and it could snow up into Sunday morning, possibly snowing during the game. It doesn't snow in Seattle. It's cold and wet there, but it never snows in Seattle. It snows all the time in Green Bay. Green Bay is running. They're ready for the snow. As far as the quarterbacks go, I think it's pretty even. I think Aaron Rodgers has slipped a little bit, and Russell Wilson has also slipped a little bit when you look at what he's done. Russell Wilson was great until about week 10. Since week 10, he's been okay. The Seahawks, they barely beat Philadelphia with Josh McCown throwing the football. I don't believe in the Seahawks. I don't believe in their running game because they got 65-year-old Marshawn Lynch toting the pill right now. I don't believe in Seattle's defense. That said, I don't really believe in Green Bay's defense either. And I don't really believe in Aaron Rodgers at this point. He's not playing very well. I do believe in Aaron Jones, though. Green Bay has a significant advantage in this game, and that is the advantage. It's their running game and Aaron Jones. This game was built for Aaron Jones. If you're a daily fantasy player, load up on Aaron Jones. I think he has 150 yards and 2 touchdowns in the game. I will take the Green Bay Packers -4. So in the AFC, I'm taking the underdogs. In the NFC, I'm taking the favorites, and I'll probably be wrong on all 4 games. All right, coming up next, it's the moment you've been waiting for, the big game, the game that matters. Coming up on the other side, the wait is finally over. We will give you our national championship picks next. All right, it's the last segment of the show, last segment of the week. And before we get to our national championship picks that you've been clamoring for, don't forget this weekend, you can listen to the NFL playoffs all weekend long on ESPN Upstate starting Saturday, starting tomorrow night at 7:45. You have the Titans at Ravens on Sunday afternoon starting at 2:20. You have the Texans at Chiefs, followed by Sunday evening at 6:15, the Seahawks at Packers. You can hear all of those games right here on ESPN Upstate. I might have to listen on Saturday on my way home. I think I'm gonna hang out here. I'm gonna hang out here tonight. I haven't really got too much of a chance to enjoy Greenville. I've been a good sports little talk show host, and I've been kind of staying home. Went out and had a couple of drinks, but I'm gonna check out the city tonight and hang out downtown. Yeah, I love downtown, man.
Stroll up and down, check out the fine retail opportunities.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, I love me some downtown Greenville. So I will be gallivanting. I think it is gallivanting. I'll be gallivanting this evening.
Well, if you're drinking wine, then yeah, you'll be gallivanting.
That's what wine drinkers do. They gallivant. Yeah, yeah. You drink your beer. I'll be gallivanting around town in Greenville. Look for the guys with the beards. We'll be the two guys with the beards hanging out downtown. Diesel, are you ready for our national championship picks? It's finally here. We need the national championship music. This is the ESPN national championship. It's very regal. Are you a fan of this music?
I feel like you could watch a Roman emperor rolling in a chariot.
Yeah, absolutely.
He comes in like a conquering hero.
Yes.
But what has he conquered?
What is Rome? What is Rome? I forget now. I'm drawing a blank on Gladiator, one of the best movies ever. After he dies, spoiler alert, after Maximus dies, what is the Republic? Or it's great. I love me some Gladiator. Father to a murdered son, husband to a murdered wife, and I will have my vengeance in this life or the next. All right, here it is. It's finally here. The national championship on Monday, the pick segment that you guys have been waiting for, clamoring for.
I know you people have ignored every other pick.
Oh, they
pick
have.
Them anywhere.
Yeah, this is the only pick'em that matters.
Yes.
It is absolutely the only pick'em
that
matters.
We're the experts.
We are we? Yeah, I guess so. We'll
see. If I say so.
Well, one of us will probably be right and the other one will be wrong. I'm not sure which way you're going yet.
Okay.
But I am going with the Tigers.
Of?
I got to pick one of them?
Yeah, you have to.
Oh, man, okay.
It's the nature of the beast.
All right, I am going to go with the Tigers in triple overtime.
Ooh.
Yeah, it's going to be a triple overtime game. It's going to be one of those games where you go to two overtimes and they're forced to go for two-point conversions. I love that new rule, by the way.
I do, too.
In triple overtime, I will take the LSU Tigers, 44.
Boo.
Clemson, 42. I'm sorry. I think, hey, good teams win. Great teams cover.
Right.
Clemson's going to cover.
Yeah.
But LSU, with the home field advantage, I think is just a little bit too much. I hate to do this. You know, I said I wanted to, kiss everybody's ass all week. But I think LSU has a little bit too much. I think they win by 2 points. Give me the LSU Tigers. I'm putting the LSU Tiger hat on, Corso style. LSU 44, Clemson 42.
I see a game not dissimilar from the first national title against Alabama.
Yeah.
Late touchdown. In regulation, Clemson wins by 3.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
Tight game.
Yeah.
Tight game in regulation. Come from behind win.
Yeah.
You know, it's hard to bet against a team that's won 29 in a row.
It's tough. It's hard to bet against a team that's like the best team ever in LSU. This is a tough one to call.
You can't call a team the best team ever if they've not won anything yet.
They look pretty damn good right now. But Clemson can beat them. They absolutely can win this football game for all the reasons we've talked about all week. I'm not going to be shocked at all if Clemson wins. I think they're going to cover. I just think that LSU just got a little bit too much. And Joe Burrow is going to find Jefferson in the end zone for a two-point conversion to win it, and Clemson will get stopped on their two-point conversion. Either way, It's going to be a great game. This is, minus, you know, a Florida Gators matchup, because I'm a Florida Gator grad and a Florida Gator fan. I don't think I've ever looked forward to a national championship more than this one. I don't know if there's ever been two teams as good as these two teams are playing against each other. USC and Texas was a great game, and those were two undefeated teams going against each other. That looked like a great game. This one is right on that level, man. These two teams are playing. They're peaking right now. LSU's been peaking all year with this new offense. Clemson has been peaking really for the last 7 weeks. Ever since they got slighted in that first playoff rankings, when they got ranked number 5, they've been mad, and they've been just smoking everyone. They handled their business. They played like champions against Ohio State last week, or 2 weeks ago, and they found a way to get it done. It's going to be a good game. It's two of the best teams. It's the two best teams matching up against each other, and that's all you can ask for as a college football fan. Diesel, I wanted to thank you very much. It's been a fun week, my friend.
That it has.
Absolutely. I wanted to thank everybody out there for listening and supporting us this week. Hopefully you guys will support us for many, many weeks to come. We will see. But coming up next... you have the Diddy Takeover. My guy Diddy. Diddy is going to be holding the fort down for Mark Ryan with Lonzo from 3 to 7 this evening. I'm sure they got plenty of guests and football coverage and shenanigans. You know how Diddy does it. You know how Lonzo does it. They're definitely going to be having a good time tonight. All right. Thank you very much for the phone calls. Thanks for the Facebook posts. Thanks for the tweets. Thanks for the love. Thanks for the hate. Thank you to Mark Hendricks for letting us sit in today and this week. Thank you to Mark Ryan for letting us sit in this week. We'll see you guys sometime down the road. Be good to each other.